British Sky Broadcasting, BBC Films and Focus Features present Eastern Promises in association with Astral Media, Chorus Entertainment and Telefilm Canada. Directed by David Cronenberg. Starring Naomi Watts as Anna Kitrova, Sinead Cusack as her mother Helen, Armin Müller-Stahl as restaurant owner Semyon, Vincent Cassell as his son Kirill, and Viggo Mortensen as their chauffeur, Nikolai Luzhin. Audio described by Therese Birch on behalf of MCS Agency. London, nighttime, a downpour. A neon sign over a shop, Azim's Barbers. A young man, Akrem, runs along the street holding a newspaper over his head and enters the shop. Inside, a man with a shaven head and bushy moustache, Azim, is cutting the hair of a customer, Soika.
He says Christmas, so I say to him,
should we go shopping?
The kid's 16.
He says, Badamcha, it's Christmas.
Что ты делаешь? How much you taking off?
Uncle Azim.
This is him, the kid I am talking about.
He looks okay to me. Как дела? Akrem, how you doing?
Soika tries to shake hands with jittery Akrem.
He looks okay, but... he won't do one lousy thing for me. Here, look, Akrem. Take this.
Azim, lütfen.
Azim, please.
You see, we had a deal. Now he's backing out.
Azim, leave the kid alone. Оставь его. It's obviously some psychological thing.
Take the fucking ustra. And finish this ruse.
He grabs Azim's cutthroat razor and slits Soika's throat. Azim holds Soika's shoulders as he twitches, blood pumping from his neck. Akrem looks on nervously. A car passes. Barefoot, a coat over her nightdress, a young girl, Tatiana, crosses the rain-soaked road. She stumbles pale-faced towards a pharmacy, clutching a red handbag.
Paracetamol.
Please, I need help.
Do you need methadone? For methadone, I need to see prescription.
She looks down at a pool of blood. The girl faints.
Was she hemorrhaging when you found her?
Yes.
A nurse opens the girl's handbag and pulls out a diary.
Did you get a name?
No.
You're right, sweetheart. Stay with us, all right?
Baby's in distress. Her sats are very poor.
The nurse, Anna Kitrova, examines the needle marks on Tatiana's arm, then feels her swollen belly.
Fetal heart rate's at 60, 58... 57 and free falling.
Speak to me.
Placental abruption. We need to get the baby out now.
Anna applies an oxygen mask to the blood-covered baby's face. As she squeezes air into its lungs, its chest rises and falls. Gloved hands place a clip on the umbilical cord. A doctor pulls off his mask and wipes his forehead.
I'm afraid we've lost the mother. Okay, enough.
Another doctor switches off a monitor.
Call it.
An identified woman died December the 20th. 23:13. Baby girl born 20th of December. 23:14.
The mask is removed. The baby, still smeared in blood, breathes. A motorcyclist crosses a London bridge in bright morning sunshine under a clear blue sky. There is little traffic. It's Anna, wearing a black helmet and goggles. Anna's mother, Helen, enters her bedroom carrying a mug. She walks over to the bedside table and puts it down.
Did you sleep?
A bit.
Helen turns to leave.
Mum. Are you okay?
Of course not. It's Christmas.
Anna sighs, looking concerned. A grey-haired man licks his fingers.
Anya, where did you get this?
The diary.
It's your own fault for giving him something to play with.
Well, I can't read Russian, can I?
Anna joins her uncle at the table.
I told you, Uncle Stefan. I found it in the handbag of a girl who died in my ward.
Do you always rob the bodies of the dead?
Yes, actually. We all do it. It's one of the perks of working at the hospital.
Anna sips a sherry.
Did you know that your daughter robs the bodies of the dead?
Helen raises her eyes and lays mats on the table.
I'm looking for an address.
You have an uncle, Anya, who doesn't steal the things from the dead. Not even their secrets.
Oh, don't go all momentous on us, Stepan. Lift your elbows.
As she places a mat in front of him, he leaves the table.
Should put this into her coffin. Bury her secrets with her bodies.
Body. Singular.
She smiles derisively at her uncle. He gulps down his sherry and storms out. Anna, sitting at the table, thumbs through the diary while her mother lays the table.
My name is Tatiana. My father died in the mines in my village, so he was already buried when he died. We were all buried there, buried under the soil of Russia. That is why I left, to find a better life.
Anna has found a card in the diary from a restaurant. She drives up to it on her motorbike. Two men pass a Doberman chained in the backyard.
So, you will pick up Azim and you bring him back here with his bitch of a wife.
No, okay.
Then I'll think of an excuse and we can get away.
Oh, yeah.
Whoa.
The two men, Kirill and Nikolai, admire Anna as she secures her bike with a chain on the street. Who the fuck's that? Asks Kirill. Nikolai, in dark glasses, shrugs. Maybe somebody sent your dad a hooker for Christmas.
Man, you're so fucking unbelievably disrespectful.
Anna removes her goggles and helmet. Her blonde hair tumbles to her shoulders.
Hey, you got work to do.
Okay.
Давай.
Move. See you, says Nikolai. He admires a female passerby as he goes over to a black Mercedes. Anna watches. Kirill looks at her as the Mercedes drives off. He enters the restaurant through imposing double wooden doors, glancing at Anna before shutting them. She walks up to the entrance, noticing the brass nameplates declaring Trans-Siberia Restaurant on either side. She rings the bell. An elderly man answers.
I know we are closed.
Yes, I know.
She shows him her hospital ID.
I'm a midwife.
And unless one of my daughters is keeping something from me, here's the wrong address.
I was hoping to speak to the manager.
Kitrova.
My dad was Russian.
What was your father's first name?
Ivan.
Ivan? So you are Anna Ivanovna. Come.
She follows him in. Wearing a white apron, he waves his hand.
No, hurry. I must stir. Oh, the borscht is in my hands. Today it is family. Here's my son, Kirill. No, hurry. No. Come on. Hurry. More glasses for Red over there.
Anna smiles at two little girls with violins in a corner of the plush restaurant.
My angels. You must practice more. You know, you must make the wood cry.
He takes a violin off one of the girls and starts to play.
Eh?
Anna shows him the card from the diary.
This is an old card, from before the renovations. But if she had worked here, I would remember her name. Perhaps she ate here once. Try. Yeah. Try this. Yeah.
He offers her a spoonful of borscht.
Mm. My God, that's amazing. Yeah. My dad made borscht just like that.
Nikolai parks the Mercedes up against Anna's bike, gets out and waves to the driver of another car pulling up behind. He opens the back door for a middle-aged woman in a fur coat.
Anna, I'm so sorry I couldn't help. It is sad. Very sad.
It's all right. I'll probably find out more once I get her diary translated.
The restaurant owner, Semyon, turns away from the pot of borscht he's stirring to look at Anna.
Her diary?
Yeah, I found it in her bag.
Okay, Anna, this is how it will be. You will bring the diary here, and I will translate it for you. And if we get the names of any relatives, I will call them myself.
I can just get my uncle to translate.
And when you come, I will make you some more borscht. Like your papa used to make. So, tomorrow, shall we say 7?
She shrugs and nods.
I then settled. But for now, you must forgive me.
He shows her out of the kitchen. Goodbye, Anna.
До свидания.
Yeah, Anna. Yeah. You always work at the Trafalgar Hospital?
Yes, always.
Yeah, that's good.
With a perplexed expression, Anna leaves the restaurant as the guests arrive. Nikolai leans on a lamppost by her motorbike. She squats to undo the chain on the wheel.
Крутой мотор. Nice bike.
She glances at him.
Урал. You don't see them anymore.
My dad's.
How much do you want for it?
Has sentimental value.
Ah. Sentimental value. I've heard of that.
Still wearing dark glasses, he smiles briefly.
Not staying for a party?
No.
Nor me. Chauffeur don't get invited. You want to go for a drink instead?
Smiling as she secures her helmet, she drives off. Evening, she's at home eating with her mother and uncle.
Anna, how is it that your boyfriend wasn't here to carve?
I don't live with Oliver anymore, Uncle Stepan. Living back here for a bit.
For as long as you want.
She smiles at her mother.
I knew he would run away from you.
He didn't run away. Christ, you make me sound like a burning building.
Black men always run away.
Oh, Stepan.
Stop. I'm not allowed to be honest.
He was a doctor, Stepan.
What has that got to do with anything?
Her mother looks chastened.
It is not natural to mix race and race. That's why your baby died inside you.
Oh, shut up, Stepan! Anna, please. You're just how he was. Stupid, bloody, drunken Russians.
Helen snatches the glass and vodka bottle from Stepan and goes after Anna, who stormed out of the French windows. Stepan grumpily drinks some wine. The Trans-Siberia restaurant. Waiters pour wine for the guests. Children laugh as they play with yo-yos, streamers and Christmas crackers. The long table is sumptuously laid with red candelabra. Semyon sits at the end. Azim's wife smokes and drinks, looking bored. Next to her, her husband toasts Semyon, who downs a shot of vodka. He directs a waiter to serve the wine. Kirill comes out of the kitchen carrying a huge platter. He puts it down to answer his phone.
Thank you.
He touches his father on the shoulder as he passes, going to a corner of the room to take the call in private. Nearby, a child holds up a toy.
It's a panda, panda.
Kirill looks over his shoulder furtively as he answers the phone. Azim watches him.
Coast is clear. Yeah. What? No, not beach. I said coast. It's an English expression, you fucking baboon. It means there are no police. You sure? Good.
He looks over at Azim, who nods.
No, my father is not involved.
Nighttime. Kirill, Nikolai and Azim get out of the Mercedes outside his barber shop. Azim nods towards Nikolai.
The driver stays down here.
Calm down, says Kirill.
You really think I do this kind of thing? He's not the driver. He is the undertaker.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I don't like him.
Azim unlocks a door marked members only.
I have converted the upstairs rooms into a private social club. Some gambling, some drinking, smoking, food, dancing. It has been the most surprising.
Yay!
Hey, Akrem.
Be calm, slowly, says Azim to Akrem.
Durgun.
I got tickets, Azim. It's with Chelsea. They said there was no tickets, but I got tickets for the Chelsea game.
Okay. You go watch DVD now.
Akrem nods and throws his arms around Azim, who says, come on. Akrem leaves.
Azim.
Yeah?
He knows to say he hasn't seen us, right?
He don't know anything. He's been touched by the angels.
Azim opens a chest freezer containing Soika's body.
Yeah. Hit him? He was like a brother to me. And now he looks like a fucking ice cream.
Hey, show some respect for a dead man.
Respect?
Kirill takes out an envelope.
This is respect.
He shows Azim the envelope containing a bundle of notes and slaps it on his chest.
Okay, Galian. It's all yours. Show some respect. Pederast,
says Kirill, and spits on the corpse before leaving. Nikolai leans into the freezer and taps Soika's body on the chest with a tattooed fist. He shakes his head.
Have you got a hair dryer?
Cigarette clamped in his mouth, wearing rubber gloves, Nikolai trains a hairdryer on the corpse. He tries to lift open the frozen jacket. Azim watches. Kirill lounges on a counter nearby, eating nuts. Nikolai wrenches the jacket open as the corpse lies on a kitchen table. Azim looks uncomfortable. Nikolai pulls out a wallet.
Have you finished cutting his hair?
Azim looks shocked. Nikolai opens the wallet, which is full of cash.
I thought you might want 650 from his pocket.
He tosses the wallet to Azim.
Better burn wallet.
Azim slams the wallet down.
Okay. Now I'm going to do his teeth and cut off his fingers. You might want to leave the room.
Nikolai casually taps the ash off his cigarette and stubs it out on his tongue. He drops the butt on the floor. You too, he says to Kirill. Nikolai hooks his tie over his shoulder and picks up some pliers. Kirill finishes his nuts, gets off the counter and leaves, slapping Nikolai on the bottom as he passes. Nikolai cuts off the corpse's frozen fingers. A white van pulls up at the end of a narrow, empty, cobbled street bordered by high brick walls. Nikolai and Kirill get out and open the back. They carry Soyka wrapped in a blanket to steps leading to the river. Wait, says Kirill.
Aren't we going to wait in Dan or something?
Nah, if you want to dump body, this is best place.
This is the best spot to get rid of a corpse, says Nikolai. Let's go.
Ну поехали.
Раз.
One.
Два.
Two.
Three.
Three. They hurl the body into the river. Kirill blows on his hands.
The current will keep it down until past the barrier.
Nikolai throws down his cigarette. Kirill spits. They go back up the steps to the van as the body floats away, then disappears underwater. Nighttime, the entrance to the Trafalgar Hospital is decorated with coloured Christmas lights. Anna stands over a baby in a pink baby grow on a matching blanket in an open incubator. She strokes the baby's head. She props her elbow on the side of the incubator, rubbing the baby's tummy. She shuts her eyes, then presses her hand to her mouth to stifle her sobs. Nighttime, Anna drives her motorbike along a busy road. She stops at red traffic lights, lost in thought.
I'm so excited this morning. Yesterday, a friend came back to our village and he told us all about the places on the map that I look at. Paris, Amsterdam, London. He's been there for real. He says the future of everything was already happening in all those places.
Semyon is reading the paper in his closed restaurant. He takes off his glasses, looking puzzled by the doorbell. He answers the door to Anna.
Anna, I wasn't expecting you so early.
Is it okay? I copied the whole thing.
He looks at the photocopied diary.
Where is the original?
Well, I was going to keep it. Thought I might give it to Tatiana's daughter someday.
I will need my spectacles and a clear head. Today I broke my rules and I drank vodka. Tomorrow I will translate it. And then I will bring what I've done to your home. Where do you live, Anna?
Not far. But I can just drop by and pick it up.
Or maybe I can drive you home.
It's okay, I've got my bike outside.
It's raining. Nikolai opens the door of the Mercedes. Kirill falls out.
Relax. Hey, oh, 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 oh.
Come on.
Okay.
Come on, Kirill, he says. Get out. Get up, Kirill. We're partners now, man, yeah? Yeah? You know? Nikolai helps Kirill towards the front door of the restaurant as Semyon is showing Anna out, kissing her on both cheeks.
Hello. Oh,
hello.
Sorry.
She smiles and looks over her shoulder as she leaves. Semyon slams the door on his drunken son's face.
Okay.
Hey! Oh!
Where's your fucking keys?
Nikolai bundles Kirill through the front door. He falls. Seated at a table, Semyon looks over at his son as he rolls on the floor. Nikolai flops in a chair, exhausted, pushing Kirill away with his foot. Semyon gets up and slowly approaches Kirill, who's resting his head on Nikolai's foot.
We went to Kurdish place. We don't even celebrate Christmas.
Semyon kicks Kirill.
Hey, Papa! What did I do? Is it Merry Christmas or what?
He kicks him again. Nikolai stands. I think he's had enough.
Who the fuck are you to tell me enough?
Semyon turns away.
Papa! Hey, Papa!
Nikolai helps Kirill up.
Hey! Papa!
He pushes him into a chair as Semyon returns to his table.
Papa.
Nikolai leaves, cigarette in his mouth. He looks up at the rain. He pauses, hearing a noise. He goes over to the covered alley at the side of the restaurant where Anna is trying to start her motorbike. He watches her depress the pedal with her foot.
You've got water in it.
Water? What makes you think that?
Talk.
She tries to start it again.
Postman used this in my village when I was a boy. Russian copy, BMW flat twin. Same.
What? He slowly approaches the motorbike in the dark alley. Allow me, he says. He looks down at the bike and tries the pedal while she stands to one side. He looks defeated.
Get bus.
He shakes his head while she tries again.
You have far to go.
Just across the park.
I am driver. I even do limousines. Please. Semyon, my boss finds out I let guests walk home in the rain, he will fire me.
She looks out at the downpour and sighs. She's sitting in the back seat of the car.
Have you ever met a girl called Tatiana?
I met a lot of girls called Tatiana.
She was pregnant.
In that case, no, I never heard of her.
She died on my shift.
I thought you did birth.
Sometimes birth and death go together. She came in with needle punches all over both arms. Probably a prostitute, the age of 14. Do you think Semyon's son knew her?
I'm driver. I go left, I go right, I go straight ahead. That's it.
She cranes her neck to check where they are.
I'll take the next right.
He pulls into a side street and parks outside her house.
How much do I owe you?
He sniffs disdainfully and turns round to look at her.
Christmas present.
She gets out, carrying her helmet. He watches her walk quickly to her door. A bald man in an overcoat walks through a taped-off area of riverbank towards a white tent close to the Thames barrier. A team of people in white overalls and masks sift through the detritus on the shore. He joins a younger man and enters the tent.
We think he might be Russian mafia.
The bald man kneels and with gloved hands pulls up the trouser leg on Soika's corpse to reveal a star tattoo on the knee.
And he was a member of Vodev Sokolnya. Stars on his knees means he'd never kneeled before anyone.
He looks at the face of Soika.
In Russian prisons, your life story is written on your body in tattoos.
He unbuttons the shirt and looks up at his colleague.
If you don't have tattoos, you don't exist. This one was a captain. And he's been professionally processed.
He examines the fingerless hand and stands up.
There was something else.
The young man gives him a handwritten page in a plastic bag.
It was in his jacket.
The bald man holds it up. Morning. Anna is drying her hair in her bedroom. Her mother enters.
Anna? Yeah? Stepan, come here. Tell her what you told me.
What? Stepan, what? I'm late for work.
He holds up the diary.
Who gave you that?
Who's on the dresser?
Mum, you can't go through my things.
You wanted him to translate
it. Right, and you didn't want to, so I found someone else.
No, Anya. You don't go to someone else with this. You don't go to anyone Насилование means rape. Игла means needle. Prostitutio. Perhaps you can guess. I'm going to wash my hands.
He leaves. Anna looks down, unsettled. Her mother sits on the bed.
Anna. Stepan said that this girl ended up in the hands of the Voreva Sokonyi. Do you know what that means?
Look, if I don't find a relative in the next few days, they're going to put Christine out for fostering. Once she's in the system, she'll never get out again.
Who named her Christine?
I had to call her something. Sounds like Christmas. She's so beautiful.
Helen looks concerned.
If I can persuade Stepan to translate it, will you leave the rest of the police?
Anna turns away and retrieves the diary from her drawer to give to her mother.
Tell him I've heard bad words before.
The Mercedes is parked outside a large, shabby house. There's a dirty dormer window in the roof. A blonde girl with tousled hair squats, hugging herself. A girl in white ankle boots pole dances for Kirill. Three other girls smoke and drink. Two of them start kissing. Kirill, shirt open, kisses the neck of the pole dancer. Kirill kneels by the pole dancer and kisses her bottom. He stands up and swigs from a bottle of vodka. Nikolai's with a girl drinking vodka from a bottle. Kirill sits on his lap.
So, which one are we going to fuck? What do you care?
Serious!
Kirill stands up.
Pick one.
Come on, Kirilka. Let me enjoy myself.
Hear me. You're going to fuck one of these girls.
The young girl pours vodka into Nikolai's mouth. Kirill looks away impatiently.
Okay. You're going to fuck one of these girls now.
Kirill swigs from a vodka bottle and says, "That's an order," and smashes the bottle. He pulls the girl away from Nikolai. Nikolai looks exasperated. Kirill grabs him and hauls him to his feet. "What's the matter with you?" asks Nikolai.
"Now you're going to fuck, Starik."
"Calm down, Kirill.
I am recommending you to my father. I have to be sure that you ain't no fucking queer."
That's enough, Kirill. He pats him on the arm. "Enough, Siberian ox."
"You don't tell a vor what is enough."
Kirill staggers over to the pole dancer.
"I'm taking you to my father's favorite stable. He comes here himself because they're all clean. So now I'm gonna watch you fuck one of these bitches so you can prove me that you are no queer."
Grinning, Kirill rubs the dimple on Nikolai's chin. "Psycho," he says. Kirill laughs and puts his arm around Nikolai's shoulders. "So which one's it going to be?" he asks. They look down at a disheveled blonde.
"That one."
"When I was little, London was like a place in the Bible. I wasn't even sure if it was real. My friend has told me there is a place in London where they pay girls to sing. He said if I sang in this restaurant, I would make more money in a week than my father would in a year."
Kirill watches Nikolai having sex with the girl while she kneels on the bed.
"Very nice. You did it very nice."
Hair tousled, Nikolai looks up at Kirill. "Thank you, brother."
"Really? Спасибо, браток. So, if my examination is over, get the fuck out of here while I get dressed."
Nikolai straightens up and slaps the girl on her flank. Kirill leaves. Nikolai sighs. Naked, the girl lies on her side singing.
ci torna io, solo veisce perce, toven soio, su tascino, toven stercca glice.
Nikolai looks down at the girl and asks, "What's your last name?" She looks dazed. "Tell me your last name."
Kirilenko.
"Where are you from?" "Ukraine." "Which village? Which town?" "Irpin, outside Kiev." Nikolai takes a bundle of notes from his pocket and puts it on the bed next to her. "Stay alive a little longer," he says, and places a small picture of a saint on top of the money. "Understand?" he asks. She looks up at him. He leaves. Anna, smiling, rocks the baby at the hospital.
"My friend said he would get me to Amsterdam, and from there we could find a way into London. I have been practicing my singing, and have even rejoined the church choir. I'm also practicing my English. My friend says his uncle owns the restaurant where you can sing. He is sure this man will take care of me."
"Let's go to sleep now."
"Well, Anna, I came on tiptoes."
"How did you get in here?"
"There are always open doors, Anna Ivanovna."
"I'm afraid you're not allowed in here."
"Please, Anna, let me speak. I translated the diary."
Semyon shakes his head sadly and sits on the bed.
I was shocked to discover that my son Kirill is mentioned many times. I have known for some years that he has strayed from the path I set out for him. His mother died when he was very young."
"What did it say about him?"
"Many bad things."
He stands up.
"But please, Anna, let me deal with him. If the diary should find its way to the police, I mean, some of the things my son did are illegal. And he is a good boy."
"I don't care about him. I care about the baby."
"Of course, of course."
Semyon smiles and approaches the incubator.
That is a baby. That's so sweet. I have made some inquiries. I have found out an address for Tatiana's family in Russia. That's where the baby belongs, no?"
Anna smiles.
"Perhaps we can do a deal. Do you understand me?"
A nurse comes to the viewing window looking concerned.
"It's okay. He was just leaving."
The nurse nods and leaves.
"So you know where I am, and I know where you are, Anna Ivanovna."
"I was thrown down the stairs and fell onto some sacks, like potato sacks. Kirill came down after
down
me.
Down after me, and he hit me until I was bleeding. Then he tried to rape me, but he couldn't do it. He just got madder and madder and kept hitting me. In the end, his father came down. It was the father who raped me. He shouted at his son, 'If you don't break a horse, it will never be tame, Kirill.'"
"Hello, dear.
How was your night?
Anna looks at her uncle drinking vodka for breakfast.
Stepan's arthritis is playing up. I'm taking dictation.
Anna sits at the table, rubbing her nose thoughtfully.
Do you want some tea or something?
He came to see me. The man from the restaurant, he came to the hospital.
I told you this. I told you that that
I know,
would
and it's my fault.
Well, it's no one's fault.
I have a friend from Ukraine who's got a gun.
Steve.
From the war in Afghanistan.
Don't talk about guns.
I dealt
with the Voriva Zakonia when I worked for the KGB.
You never worked for the fucking KGB.
I was an auxiliary. He downs a vodka.
What did this man want?
He wants the diary. And in return, he'll give us Tatiana's family address. Christine's family.
You cannot do deals with those people.
This isn't a deal. It's an exchange of information.
Have you already forgotten what I just read to you?
We have to be practical.
Stepan glares at Anna.
I think he was threatening to harm the baby.
And it's settled.
No, yes.
Stepan.
Yes.
This isn't our world. We are ordinary people.
He points at the diary on the table in front of him.
She was an ordinary person.
Nikolai kneels by Anna's bike, replacing a cable in the alley next to the restaurant.
Hoi! Come here.
Nikolai gets up, wiping his hands.
I've got a present for you.
Kirill stands at the back of a van. Grinning at Nikolai, he opens the doors and points to boxes of wine stacked inside.
From France. Old as fuck.
He takes a bottle from one of the boxes.
Here. Open one. Old is good with wine, huh? 60 quid a bottle anywhere, except I got this for 10 quid a case, man.
From where?
From where, you don't ask. Now, if Papa says okay, I can start telling you about the serious stuff. Import, export. This booze is just like gifts for Papa's friends. The real import stuff is from Kabul. You understand?
Papa! Gospodi, you scared me! What's wrong? We're just sampling.
What's wrong? Your friend Saika is dead.
Yeah? So what? It has nothing to do with me.
No, don't lie to me.
Papa, believe me. I said,
Papa, don't lie to me!
Papa!
Don't lie to me!
Kirill. Your dad is right. No point lying to him.
What are you saying? Asks Kirill. Nikolai announces, Azim's nephew slit Soika's throat. Kirill paid him to do it. Shut your fucking mouth, snaps Kirill. Your dad always knows the truth, replies Nikolai.
Hey, boss, you don't have to worry.
What? I don't have to worry?
I got rid of body myself.
Police won't find anything.
My son commits a murder on my own doorstep, a fellow soldier. And no one thought to tell me about it.
Barovskoy code says, never speak to anybody about your captain. Kirill is my captain.
Uh-huh.
When I find out what happened, we do what we have to clean up situation. Soika was spreading lies about Kirill, about your family. Kirill's deal pravna. It was the right thing.
I decide what's right and what's wrong. You do not kill a war. For no reason.
You know as well as I do, Soika was talking to police.
For driver, you are well informed.
I have connections with Chechens exporting cars. They tell me Soika speaks to Russian desk, Scotland Yard.
Kirill did the right thing, explains Nikolai. He did a good thing for our people. They will appreciate that.
Yeah, Papa. I swear.
Shut up. Let me If you are so well informed, you will know Soika has brothers.
That's okay. Kirill has got me.
It's okay. Okay.
Semyon turns to leave.
Get boxes out of sight.
Kirill checks his father has left.
So you heard him, Patan. Now you get these boxes out of sight.
Nikolai nods. Okay, okay. Stepan carries a tray with three hot chocolates and a burger and chips over to Helen and Anna in a cafe.
Here.
Thank you.
He sits down and stuffs some chips in his mouth. Anna looks disgusted.
How can you eat?
I'm hungry.
Anna looks at the door as Nikolai enters wearing dark glasses.
That's their driver.
Stepan looks over his shoulder and puts down the burger.
Here he comes.
He sits at their table and removes his glasses, smiling. Anna nods slightly in acknowledgement, looking tense. Nikolai's eyes dart to one side.
Meet in public place.
A lot of people around. Very wise. And I see you bring bodyguards. Also very wise.
Yeah, we do, thank you.
When I was in the KGB, we knew how to deal with scum like you. And you did what there?
Stipach.
Nikolai smirks. Anna stares at him.
Anna?
Stepan glances at Nikolai sitting next to him. Nikolai watches Anna expectantly. At last, she reaches into her pocket for the diary and slides it across the table towards Nikolai. He touches her hand briefly with tattooed fingers as he picks it up and flicks through it. He puts it in his pocket.
Okay. Thank you.
Now you give me the address.
What address?
Tatiana's family.
He shrugs.
I don't know what you're talking about.
He leaves.
You see, I told you to have this. I told you this.
Anna!
Anna leaps up and follows him out of the cafe.
She was 14. Read the diary. She was 14 when he raped her. You bastards murdered her.
Calm down.
Anger is very dangerous. Makes people do stupid things. Please, forget any of this ever happened. You're in very wrong place, Anna Ivanovna. You belong in there, with nice people. Stay away from people like me.
Stepan rushes over to Anna and pushes her aside. Right. Devil, he says, and spits in Nikolai's face. Motherfucker. Nikolai wipes his face with a handkerchief. Stepan bundles Helen and Anna back into the cafe, glaring at Nikolai, who touches his throat in a threatening gesture, pointing at Stepan. Stepan goes back into the cafe. Nikolai sits in the empty restaurant, reading the diary.
I am not sure I can carry on another day. The windows won't open, so I can't throw myself out. They inject me every day with heroin. Sometimes I think this is all a hallucination.
Nikolai looks up as Semyon approaches with a vodka bottle and glasses. He puts the diary down and puts his hand on it.
It's always good to have someone who I can trust to do simple tasks.
He slides the diary over to him.
In this business, sometimes the biggest danger comes from the most stupid things. You can't afford to be careless in any area.
They toast each other with shots of vodka.
Tvoje zdravje.
They knock back their drinks.
So, what was a lie Soika was spreading about my son?
It was nothing important.
Kirill had him killed for nothing important.
Nikolai shrugs.
I don't like to repeat this.
For me, you will repeat it. You play with a prince to do business with a king. If you want to do business with me, you must be open with me. Thieves and law. So what was Saka saying about the prince?
That he's a drunk.
Nikolai brushes the table with his hand, looking uncomfortable.
And also... a queer.
Semyon looks surprised. My only son.
You know, it never snows in this city. It's never out. London, city of whores and queers.
Nikolai shakes his head.
I think London is to blame for what he is.
Why don't you go home?
Cold gets into my bones. Also, KGB would be waiting for me.
FSB. They are called FSB now.
Whatever they call them, they're worse even than the KGB were. The midwife said she had an uncle, a Russian.
I met him, says Nikolai.
So you know what he looks like.
Semyon picks up the diary and stands up. Yes. No. Yes, says Nikolai.
She said he has read the diary. You cannot trust a Russian with that kind of information.
Semyon puts the diary in a wine cooler and pours alcohol over it. Do you understand me?
Yeah.
Yes, says Nikolai.
Perhaps you can deal with him.
Semyon drops a lighted match on the diary, which bursts into flames. He returns to the kitchen as the diary burns. Nikolai watches, seated at the table. Anna leaves the labour ward. She stops in her tracks as she sees Nikolai leaning on her motorbike, jiggling the keys in his hand.
I thought I should bring it back before it got stolen. Lot of villains around.
She stares at him. He reaches into his coat pocket.
I have address you wanted.
Small village. Outside Novokuznetsk.
I know it. Not good place for a kid to grow up. Especially not little girl. If you want my opinion, she would be better off in London. Maybe with you. Why not?
She looks uneasy. He offers her the note of the address. Reluctantly, she steps forward, takes the note and reads it.
So you've read the diary?
She stares at him.
How can you keep doing what you're doing?
He stands up.
I'm just a driver.
She looks down and shakes her head, unconvinced.
Why'd you bring me this?
Don't know. I was passing.
He takes a handkerchief from his pocket and wipes the seat and handlebars of the motorbike.
Your uncle. It's true he was in KGB.
I don't know.
Does he live with you?
She stares at Nikolai defiantly. He shrugs and looks down at the black leather gloves he's holding. He turns away, putting them on.
Ah. I fix it. Should be okay now.
He saunters away. Anna looks nervous. A huge crowd of football supporters surge through the streets, many wearing blue scarves and hats. They pass a line of mounted police. In the midst of the crowd, excitable Akram wears a red and yellow scarf. A policeman pulls him to one side.
Just calm down. Listen to me, just calm down, all right? Take it easy.
Ora smoke!
Carrying a can of lager, Akram walks through a cemetery with the Chelsea fans. Akram leaves the crowd and stumbles drunkenly through the graves, holding his crotch. He puts his can down on a stone cross and urinates on a headstone.
Arsenal!
Two heavies approach him from behind and hold a knife to his throat. For my brother! They slit his throat and leave, glancing back at him. Akram pulls down his scarf to reveal a gaping wound across his neck. Blood pumps out of it. A long-haired blonde accordion player sings in the restaurant. Wearing an embroidered red, white and green tunic, he serenades a table of old ladies. Semyon carries a birthday cake over to the old lady at the head of the table and places it in front of her. The musician kneels by her side. Semyon conducts the old ladies, pats the musician on the back and applauds him. A waiter approaches Semyon.
Come quickly.
Azim the barber is waiting in the rain at the back of the restaurant.
They were going to kill me. Those Chechens are savages.
What did they say about my son?
Azim looks over his shoulder at the driver of the Range Rover that collected him and steps forward.
They said they would spare me only if I delivered Kirill to them.
You're being very, very honest.
I fear you more than I fear them.
Never again do business with any member of my family behind my back.
Never. I will never listen to Kirill again, I swear.
Do they know? Bear. To find Kirill?
They are like wolves.
Do they know what he looks like?
No. They have just arrived from the mountains.
Tell them you will deliver Kirill to them. Tell them to give you 2 days.
Anna reads the photocopied diary.
I know now for sure that I am pregnant. It hasn't begun to show yet. After I was raped, they made me take pills, but I guess it was too late. I am condemned to give birth to a new life. But first, I will try to find a way to end my own life and spare this child the pain.
A rainy night. Wearing a fur hat, Stepan returns to his flat with a carrier bag. He takes keys from his pocket and goes through the entrance. A woman leaves with 3 children. Nikolai is watching Stepan in the rearview mirror of the Mercedes parked opposite the flats. He gets out. He remotely locks the car and walks over to the flats. Anna stands outside the restaurant. She seems apprehensive. She looks around as a black car pulls up. Nikolai gets out.
What are you doing here?
I don't know. I was passing.
Well, if you're passing, just pass. You keep on going, bitch. Nikolai, Pashli.
Kirill says, Nikolai, come on.
We should go now.
Family's important to you people, isn't it?
To your people?
What's she talking about, asked Kirill. I didn't catch it.
Tell Semyon, the baby I delivered last Sunday is his daughter.
What did she say? I don't know.
When he raped her, she was a virgin. Then they gave her pills. He has to be the father.
Kirill lunges at Anna. Shut up, bitch. Nikolai pulls him off. Fuck her, Kirill, he says. Forget her.
She was 14. She was just a child.
You won't pronounce the name of my father.
Nikolai tries to pacify Kirill as a couple leave the restaurant.
You stop talking shit about him. You don't look at her anymore.
That's an order. Kirill goes in, followed by Nikolai, who glances at Anna, shaking his head.
Tell him what I said.
Tell him what? There is nothing to tell. Slaves give birth to slaves.
Tell him what I said.
Yes, you know. The girl you fucked the other day in front of me. The Ukrainian bitch.
Ukrainian?
But anyway, so the police arrives. Some ordinary fucking police. They just, kick down the door and ask for her by name. Then they just take her away. Like some fucking punter just might have given them her name or something. What gives the right to the police to take our women? Huh?
I don't know.
Fuck police. Hey, Papa. I've never seen so many old people in one place. Whose body is that? The angel of death?
She's 100 years old.
Still yet.
I know.
Kirill, go down into the cell and bring up some brandy. 12 bottles.
Kayan, you hear that? Go down to the cell, get 12 bottles of brandy for Papa.
No, he stays here. I want to talk business.
Business? What business? Papa, what business? His business is my business.
Go to the cell, Kirill, and take your time.
Kirill looks at Nikolai, who shrugs. Petulantly, Kirill throws down some marzipan fruits he's been eating and storms out of the kitchen.
So, did you deal with the old man?
Nikolai carefully replaces a marzipan fruit in the bowl. It's time you joined us, says Semyon. Thank you, says Nikolai. Papa. You, my dear friend, sings Kirill drunkenly in the cellar, don't think ill of me. He takes a slug from a brandy bottle as Nikolai comes down the stairs. In this wilderness, he sings, simply bury me. Nikolai watches Kirill slumped against a pillar, head bowed. Kirill looks up and smiles, glancing at the brandy bottle he's holding.
My dad swept a little girl from Gruzia for this shit. Don't feel bad for what happened up there. It's just how he is. He plays people against each other. That's all. I understand more and more how he's like. Here.
Let's drink to the little Georgian girl. He swigs from the bottle and offers it to Nikolai, who holds up his hands in refusal.
Sure. I drink alone now.
He waves the bottle at Nikolai.
There.
He takes it. Kirill leans back against the pillar. Nikolai turns away, drinks from the bottle, then wipes his mouth. He turns back to face Kirill.
He offered me stars.
Shocked, Kirill sits up.
I accept.
Kirill looks down. Nikolai watches him uneasily. Suddenly, Kirill leaps up and hugs Nikolai. The two men hold each other. They separate. Nikolai gives Kirill the bottle. Kirill rubs his head on Nikolai's. Nikolai pats his cheek. Kirill walks away and takes a swig. He turns back and smiles at Nikolai.
You think I didn't know already? He told me before. It was my fucking idea. He said now, there are a lot of things I have to teach you. It will take a long time. I've been protecting you until now.
Yes, yes, Kirill.
Dada Kirill. Thank you.
Hey.
You think I don't know things that you don't know?
I'm a Vor by birth.
Star's a fucking birthmark for me.
Yes, no.
I know.
That's nice.
Don't you forget it, snarls Kirill and leans on a wire trolley, kicking it. Nikolai shrugs and starts to leave.
What the fuck you think you're going? We've got to celebrate. Come here. Help me with the bottles.
Your dad don't need bottles anymore.
Nikolai climbs the stairs. The Range Rover pulls up outside the restaurant. A heavy jumps out and opens the rear door to let out a bald man with a goatee beard and a walking stick. He looks up at the restaurant before walking towards Semyon. Beautiful building, says a man talking to Semyon on the pavement. The bearded man joins them. Good evening. Semyon greets two more guests. One asks, is everything okay? Yes, everything's fine, replies Semyon, showing them in. Two heavies follow. A third stands guard outside. Naked, but for black pants and covered in tattoos, Nikolai sits in the restaurant. We can see that you're in prison in Siberia and that you're a thief, Nikolai replies. My father was a government worker. He fixed the cars of officials. I began by selling the spare parts when I was 15. The bearded man asks, you have no force tattoos? None. A man with a moustache asks, you were not cooperative? I spent 2 years in the punishment block. You went through the crosses in St. Petersburg? I was in solitary confinement a dozen times. I was called a stump because they couldn't shift me. Your father was a bitch and a weak fucker for working for the government, right? Nikolai shrugs. That's right. He means nothing to me. My mother? You have no mother. She was a whore anyway. Nikolai stands up in front of Semyon and the four other men. Yes. They stare at him with his muscular torso covered in tattoos. I have no mother and no father. There is only the code, the Vori Vajakonya, which I have always followed. The bearded man says, that's why there's an empty space above your heart where the stars will go, and an empty space on your knees. I'm dead already. I died when I was 15. Now I live in the zone all the time. The men look at each other and nod. Semyon looks at Nikolai and nods deliberately. A tattooed hand opens a box containing tattooing equipment. A hand in a rubber glove switches on a battery to power the needle. Nikolai sits languidly draped across a plush red velvet banquette of the restaurant in his underpants, while the tattooist creates a star on his knee with blue ink. Nikolai takes a shot of vodka. The tattooist wipes his knee and dips the needle in a capful of ink and works on his shoulder. Nikolai grimaces slightly and plays with worry beads in his left hand. Helen carries a mug into Anna's room and puts it on the bedside table. Anna stirs and stretches in bed while her mother parts the floral curtains to peer out of the window. Anna sits up. Helen turns towards her.
I tried to get hold of Stepan. If he's not at home, he's usually at his sister's, but she hasn't heard from him at all. He did spit in that awful man's face. I don't think the driver would do anything to Stepan. How do you know?
Anna looks uncomfortable.
You haven't spoken to him since, have you?
The Range Rover is parked outside a municipal building. Azim, the barber, waits by the entrance. Nikolai pulls up in the Mercedes and gets out. He locks the car remotely. Azim checks his watch.
You're late.
I know.
I'm cold. Let's go in.
Above the door, a plaque. Finsbury Borough Council public baths and washhouses. They walk down a tiled corridor wearing towels.
Semyon recommends these places for business meetings. Because you can see what tattoos the man has. Come on. We have a lot to cover. Let's cook.
Nikolai follows Azim into a steam room.
What you were saying about Kabul?
Yes. Our lines to Kabul are broken every 2 or 3 weeks.
Right.
Why? The Americans. Fucking NATO.
Azim sits on a seat in the empty room and gestures for Nikolai to join him.
Valery Nabokov imports flowers and television sets into this country. The television sets are 1 in 10. That means 1 in 10 have cargo inside them.
Where do they unload them?
Azim looks at Nikolai. He stands up.
I will tell you when I return from the bathroom. Okay?
Okay.
Yeah. I will be back. Soon. Where do they unload them?
Azim slowly walks out. Still seated, Nikolai leans forward, resting his elbows on his knees, hands clasped, head bowed. In the locker room, Azim dresses hastily, looking around nervously. As he sits on a bench to put on his shoes, 2 heavies in black leather jackets enter and sit next to him.
Kirill.
Kirill is in there. Azim points towards the steam room. There, there.
You will see the stars. There, on his chest.
Well done, says one of the heavies. They get up, yes, and patting Azim on the shoulder, enter the adjoining steam rooms through a tiled arch. They walk past 2 old men seated chatting. Reaching for a curved knife, one of the heavies spots Nikolai, who's still seated, looking down, towel over his shoulders. Nikolai sees the man's feet in front of him on the black and white tiled floor. Nikolai leaps up naked and slams the knife-wielding thug against a wall. He's slashed across his side. Nikolai punches his attacker and doubles up in pain on the floor. The other thug drags him up by the hair and swings at him. Nikolai falls to the floor. While he's on his hands and knees, the thug kicks him in the stomach. He lies on his back. The first thug with a knife staggers to his feet. Are you okay? Asks his mate. Finish him off, he replies. The second thug draws a knife and approaches Nikolai, who lashes out with his foot and brings him down. He tries to stab Nikolai, but is punched in the face. Nikolai crouches over him, throttling him. He strikes Nikolai. The first thug rushes over and slashes Nikolai on the back. Nikolai grabs his knife-wielding hand and forces it down to stab his accomplice. The thug elbows him in the face. Nikolai flies back onto the floor. The thug throws him into the area where the old men are seated. He grabs the knife from the hand of his stabbed mate. Nikolai uses one of the old men as a shield. The thug throws him aside and swings at Nikolai with a knife. The old man escapes. The other cowers in a corner. The thug slashes Nikolai again. Nikolai kicks him in the stomach. He falls back and drops the knife as Nikolai lays into him, blood streaming from his back. The thug punches Nikolai in the stomach twice. Nikolai retaliates, trying to throttle him. He swings at Nikolai, then grabs his throat. Nikolai tries to reach the knife on the floor. He grabs it and pushes the thug's head back onto the blade. Leaning over him with his hand over his face, Nikolai saws through the back of the thug's neck until he lies still. Nikolai rolls off him covered in blood, watched by the old man in the corner. He drags himself on all fours over a tiled bench into the next steam room, where the other heavy lies on the floor, a knife in his chest. Nikolai falls next to him on his back. As he crawls over the thug's body, he suddenly grabs Nikolai's throat and pulls the knife out of his own chest. Nikolai blocks him as the thug tries to stab him, twisting and snapping his arm. Nikolai grabs the knife from his opponent's hand and plunges it into his eye, pushing it into the socket until a pool of dark blood oozes onto the black and white tiles. Nikolai collapses on top of the body, his hand still gripping the knife. Anna walks down a corridor in the hospital. She stands aside to let paramedics wheel a patient past on a trolley. It's Nikolai, his tattooed torso covered in blood, wearing an oxygen mask. Anna suddenly realizes who it is. Wearing scrubs, she checks over her shoulder before entering the room where Nikolai lies in bed, asleep, covered in wires and tubes. She creeps in, looking at him, then sits down by the bed, nervously watching him. He opens his eyes and blinks, then turns his head towards her.
My uncle. The one who spat in your face, he's disappeared. If we don't hear from him soon, we're going to the police. Do you know where he is?
He nods.
Yes. Scotland. Edinburgh. 5-star hotel.
Edinburgh.
Your uncle knew too much. I was told to send him to heaven with bullet in his head. Instead, I sent him to Edinburgh with first-class ticket. He's okay. He's old school. He understands situation. Exile or death.
She smiles with relief.
His hotel is called Caledonian.
The detective from the riverbank walks briskly up to the hospital reception.
Hello.
Hi.
Nikolai Lujan, please.
For that patient, I will need your security clearance information, please.
He walks up to the room and looks at Nikolai through the glass door. A nurse is tending him. He's rubbing his right forearm, which has a blood-stained dressing on it. Nikolai notices his visitor. They sit on the fire escape, a coat draped over Nikolai's hospital gown.
You got my message.
Using a dead body to file a progress report is original. Must be against FSB regulations.
You didn't come here to give me flowers.
Well, in view of what's happened to you, and in the light of other violent incidents associated with you, the Russian desk at Scotland Yard have made an official request to the Russian embassy that your undercover operation in London be terminated.
Nikolai stands up, holding his side. You've gone beyond what was agreed, says the detective.
If they terminate the operation now, they will be wasting this.
He shows him the tattoos.
So you tell Russian desk, you have seen stars over my heart. Tell them I'm through the door.
The detective stands up and closes Nikolai's coat. Barefoot, Nikolai walks across the fire escape.
Tell them I'm going to replace Simeon as boss of London organization.
What drugs are they giving you?
I need you to take Simeon out of the picture. I want you to arrest him.
Arrest him for what?
Rape.
Nikolai leans on the handrail of the fire escape.
Girl was 14.
And of course she will testify.
She's dead. But she had Simeon's baby. If you can prove baby was his and girl was underage, that is statutory rape. You have baby. You need Simeon's DNA. For poetic reasons. I suggest you take his blood.
They smile wryly at each other. Kirill is inflating balloons in the restaurant, watched intently by a little girl. He looks over at her and asks, "What are you looking at, baby?" "You," she replies. He looks down.
"What were you and Grandpa shouting about last night?"
He throws a balloon up onto a net suspended from the ceiling.
"Nothing, baby, nothing."
"Sounds like something."
He smiles sadly and inflates another balloon.
"It's just that someone I know got hurt, so I blamed it on Grandpa."
"Did you fight each other? I heard banging."
He throws another balloon up onto the net.
"No. It's not a fight if one of you doesn't fight back, right?"
He smiles at her, then throws the balloon he's just inflated at her. She knocks it away. He catches it, then glances at the CCTV screen on the bar. Two cars are pulling up outside the restaurant. The child turns to look. The detective gets out of one of the cars. He's joined by uniformed officers.
"Maria, go upstairs. Go upstairs," I said.
She leaves as the police enter. Kirill is in the kitchen garnishing a turkey. His father joins him.
"So, Papa, what did they want from you?"
Semyon picks up a bottle of vodka.
"To poison me."
He pours it over his arm.
"They took blood from me with a needle. Probably the same needle they used for the junkie sent to us in Bricks and Queers. No, I probably have the fucking queer disease."
He pours a glass of vodka over the needle site.
"Why would they want your blood, Papa?"
Semyon stares at Kirill. Night time. The car park outside the hospital. Anna walks down a corridor carrying her helmet. She passes a colleague.
"Bye. Good night."
Anna goes through double doors and down a staircase, brushing back her hair. She pauses at the bottom of the stairs, catching sight of Kirill with a black bag in the lift. As the door closes, she races to the maternity unit. The incubator is empty, but for a bunch of red roses. Distraught, she rushes up to Nikolai, who's signing out at reception.
"Where have you taken Christine? Tell me, you bastard! You've taken her! He took her, didn't he?"
What are you talking about?"
Nikolai stares at her, bewildered. She looks down.
"I saw Kirill. I thought..."
They look at each other, realizing what's happened. The black Mercedes pulls up in the dimly lit, deserted street where Kirill and Nikolai had disposed of Soika's body. Kirill, driving, glances over his shoulder at the back seat. A baby's hand reaches out of the black bag. He takes the bag out of the car. Looking around, he locks the car and carries the bag down a narrow alley. Anna, with Nikolai riding pillion, drives her motorbike. Kirill sits on stone steps leading to the river, holding the bag, head bowed. He smiles tearfully as he looks down at the infant.
Forgive me. Forgive me, baby.
Sorry, he sobs. Anna and Nikolai arrive on the bike. She pulls up. Kirill kisses the baby, closes the bag and stands up, sobbing at the water's edge.
She's just a little girl. She's just a little fucking девочка, Papa.
Kirill.
He swings around.
Kalia.
Let me take the baby. Please. She's cold.
Кирюха. Why did you not survive, Kirill?
Nikolai approaches Kirill, joining his hands beseechingly.
We don't kill babies.
He steps closer.
This would be bad for us. Your father has gone too far.
You're either with him or with me.
Shut. Leave his name. Leave some noise.
Nikolai nods at Kirill. Nikolai steps forward and embraces Kirill, who sobs on his shoulder. Anna watches nervously. With him or with me, repeats Nikolai, holding Kirill's face.
I swear, I didn't know my papa was setting you up.
I know. It's mine.
I know, Kirill.
No. They.
Nikolai glances at Anna and says, give her to me, taking the baby from Kirill. He passes the baby to Anna. She puts a hat on the child. Nikolai holds Kirill, saying, your father's going away. The family business will be yours. It's our time.
You're the boss now. Huh? You're the boss. Now we have partners. Why don't we go home? Come on.
Yet.
I take you home.
No. We're missing the fucking party of the year. Happy New Year! Давай!
Kirill, smiling, bounds up the steps past Anna with the baby. Let's go, he says. Come on, that's an order.
You are. Okay.
I need to know who you are. Why did you help us?
How can I become king if king is still in place?
He gently strokes the baby's head. Bless you. He tilts his head towards Anna's. They kiss tenderly, his hand still resting on the baby. They separate. He looks down at the child.
До свидания.
Goodbye, Anna Ivanovna. He leaves. Her face crumples. He hesitates, then climbs the steps. She kisses the baby.
Come on, break out!
It's okay.
She cuddles the baby. Kirill beckons Nikolai. Kirill and Nikolai walk off, arms around each other. Stepan and Helen are dishing up roast beef and vegetables. Helen, smiling, leaves the table and goes into the next room where the baby sits in a playpen. My little Russian doll, she says, and reaches in to lift the child. She carries the baby to Anna in the kitchen.
Here she is. Here's your mom.
Oh, here she is, my little angel.
My muffin, says Anna.
Are you hungry?
Anna carries the baby into the garden with a bottle of milk and sits on a bench in the sunshine, standing her on her lap. She kisses her.
My name is Tatiana. My father died in the mines in my village, so he was already buried when he died. We were all buried there, buried under the soil of Russia. That is why I left, to find a better life.
Nikolai sits at a table in the empty restaurant looking solemn, a bottle of vodka and a glass in front of him. He fingers his worry beads. The end.